السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are on the subject of lessons from Surah Al-Luqman and on the lesson of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil. We are in the month of Ramadan, and I want to begin with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentioned Ramadan. And we all know this hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar, and on the first step he said Ameen, and then he went ascended to the second step and he said Ameen, and then he stood on the third step and he said Ameen. After he finished his khutbah and he came down, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, they asked him, Ya Rasulullah, we saw you doing something today that you have not done before. You said Ameen three times as you ascended the minbar. So can you tell us why you did that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when I stood on the first step of the minbar, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and he said to me, the one who finds Ramadan, the one who finds Ramadan and is unable to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that the person found Ramadan but he did not use Ramadan, he did not do anything in Ramadan, maybe he did not fast in Ramadan, maybe he fasted but he did not pray, maybe he fasted and prayed but he lost his good deeds through the slander and ghibah and all kinds of other things that his tongue was doing for him and his hands were doing for him. Such a person, Jibreel alayhi salam said, Ya Rasulullah, the one who finds Ramadan and is unable to get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that person, and that person is far away from Allah, say Ameen. So I said Ameen. And then he said, I went on the second step and Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said, Ya Rasulullah, if a person finds his parents, one or both of them, in a state of old age and weakness and does not serve them and does not take their dua, then the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that person, and that person is far away from Allah, say Ameen. So I said Ameen. This means the person finds his parents, meaning what? Meaning that the parents are alive, one or both of them, and the person has an opportunity to serve them, but the person does not do that. We are not even talking about those whose parents are there, and not only do they not serve the parents, but they actually cause pain to the parents. We are not even talking about that. We are just talking about someone who ignores the parents. Jibreel alayhi salam said, curse of Allah on that person, and the person is far away from Allah. And say Ameen, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen. And he said, when I ascended the third step, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be on the person who hears your name and does not send salat and salam on you. Who hears the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who does not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ideally, you should say the whole Durood, which is Durood Ibrahim, which we do in Salah. But even if you don't do that, minimum, this is the haqq of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every time you hear his name, you read his name, or you hear Rasulullah, or you read Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't have to say it loudly, but you must say it. This is the haqq of the Nabi on the Muslim, on the one who expects the shafa'at of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. What right does that a person have to expect shafa'at when he never sent salat and salam on the Nabi? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to me on this third step of the minbar and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the curse of Allah be on the person who hears your name, before whom your name comes in whatever form, and he does not send salat and salam on you, say Ameen. And I said Ameen. I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, who is making the dua and who is saying Ameen? Two of the Rasuls of Allah. Jibreel alayhi salam is the Rasul of Allah himself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Imamul Anbiya. He is not only the Rasul of Allah, but he is the head of them. One Rasul is making dua, the other Rasul is saying Ameen. I remind myself anew because Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Bismillahi Ta'ala, by the grace and mercy of Allah, we are in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this month in good health and with Iman and with the opportunity to do the things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave us the opportunity to worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to read and listen to the Quran al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to give in charity. Let us maximize the benefit of this opportunity. Do not squander this opportunity. Don't let the opportunity go to waste. Make the most of this opportunity. Because today we are already in the 20th day of fasting in this country. We have at the most 10 more days, perhaps 9. Allah knows best. That's it. But Alhamdulillah, in these last 10 days, last 9 days, as the case might be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous, but the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets even more. The doors of the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are open all the time. But in these days, they are open even more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the blessed opportunity of making i'tikaf, which is the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity of increasing our ibadat and our tilawat of the Quran and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the opportunity for us to give more in sadaqat. I'm not even talking about zakat. Zakat is the boundary condition. Without zakat, you are not even Muslim. I'm talking about more than zakat. Understand that charity increases wealth, does not decrease wealth. Give charity with the understanding that Allah has given this to us as a trust. It is not for us to squander it as we wish. Our wealth is a trust. Let us fulfill the duty of that trust. And Allah will give you more. Because this is the purpose. Allah gave it to you to give others. The more you give others, the more you will get. The more you stop it with yourself, your source will also stop. So these last days are especially beneficial. And please understand, do not allow shaitan to fool you. Because there is always this thing, especially with i'tikaf, where people feel, yeah, I will do it next year. I've got a lot of work this time, very important work. The world is only running because of me. So I will postpone this, I will do it next year. All you and I need to do is remember and recall. And most of you are, Alhamdulillah, I see a lot of new faces today and welcome to you. But most of us are people who have been in this masjid from day one. Just recall the faces of those who are not with you today. And they were with us last Ramadan. Think of that when you are postponing things and saying, I will do it tomorrow, I will do it next year, I will do it, you know. Which next year? Next year will come, inshallah, because until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to end the world, the next year will come. Issue is not whether the next year will come. Issue is whether I will be there. And the safest bet is to assume that you will not be there and maximize this Ramadan as if it is your last in this life, because it might very well be. This is the meaning of Amar bil Maruf and Nahy al Munkar. To remind people of what is good and help them to maximize the benefit of that, to take the maximum benefit from that. As I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this month in order for us to take as much as we want. And that is why in these last 10 days, in the odd nights of these last 10 days, is one night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we sent this down, the Quran, in Laylatul Qadr. And do you know what is Laylatul Qadr? And Allah said, Laylatul Qadr is that which is better than, not equal to, better than 1,000 months. 1,000 months is 83 plus years. The ibadat in one night is better than as if you would have prayed for 83 plus years continuously without a break. Obviously, that is not even possible to do. But even if you and I were able to do that, that would still be less than the value of that ibadat on that one single night. And that night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His hikmah and His wisdom kept it concealed. Rasulullah said, search for it. Nabi sallallahu did not specify a particular night. There is a hadith where he specified the 27th night. But the muhaddithin have said that that 27th night referred to that particular year. Because the sahabi came and asked him, he said, this year. And Nabi sallallahu said 27th. But the hadith referring to Laylatul Qadr is very, very clear. Where Rasulullah ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told me this night, but He made me forget it. Now search for it in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So don't think it is only 27th and forget about the other nights. No. One night starts tonight. 21st. 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th. All of these nights are potentially Laylatul Qadr. And it is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked for the signs of Laylatul Qadr, they said, Ya Rasulullah, how do we know it was Laylatul Qadr? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them signs of the morning thereafter. He said that the sun will rise in a way without rays. So it will look like a golden plate. It will not have harsh rays. What does that mean? It means that if you find that you slept through the night and you didn't know anything, and you find the sun which raised its head like that, what does it tell you? It tells you that last night, the one you lost, was Laylatul Qadr. This is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have mentioned how the sunset will be. So look for the sunset, you find the sunset, this is the night, I got it. No. He told you the following day's sunrise. Which means if you find that sunrise and alhamdulillah, you spend the night well, alhamdulillah, all power to you. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the night. But if you didn't do that, then all that tells you is, it's gone. Let us not be among those who see that sunrise without having worked for that night, the previous night. So make sure. And then somebody asked me a question. They said, you know, the Ramadan started in Dubai and elsewhere one day earlier, and here it started one day later. So is it that odd night or this odd night? People get themselves needlessly in a spin. I don't know why. Yeah. That is very clear. See the moon and, you know, start the month and see the moon and end the month. That refers to the moon in your area. I mean, why must you put yourself in a needless complication? So anyway, they asked me the question. So I said, then the best thing for you to do is to stay awake and pray all the 10 nights. And you got it somehow, you know. Those odd nights and these odd nights, which means odd and even together. So do it. I mean, good for you. It's wonderful. But I mean, if you're asking me for that reason. So seriously, ask. Make sure that we maximize the benefit of these nights. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people and you have been extracted and selected for the benefit of people. Allah did not say ukhrijat minannas. You have been selected from the people. No, Allah said ukhrijat linnas. You have been selected for the benefit of people. And what is this benefit? تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Enjoying good and forbid evil. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The many other ayat also which talk about the importance of enjoying good and forbidding evil, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, we will see them in due course. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, I want to mention this hadith. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is Sahih Muslim. He said, whoever among you sees an evil action, let him change it with his hand. Whoever among you sees an evil action, let him change it with his hand, by taking action. If he cannot do that, if he is too weak to do that, then let him change it with his tongue by speaking out against this action. And if he can't even do that, then let him change it by his heart. Then by his heart meaning at least hating it in his heart and believing it to be wrong. And this last part of it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is the sign of the weakness of faith. So how many options are there? Three or two? Two. Change it with your hand or speak out against it. The third one is actually a sign of weakness of faith. It's not an option. That you hate it, but you neither can speak out against it, nor do you change it. This is a sign of weakness of faith. But tell me something. Even if you are there, even if you and I are at the point where we really hate this thing, but for whatever reason we can't speak against it and we have no power to change it, but we definitely hate it. If we hate it, what is the first thing that you will do if you hate something? Go towards it or go away? Go away. So what kind of a life do we have today where we claim to hate things, but you find that we are in the thick of those things? My brothers and sisters, the time to fool ourselves is long gone. And that's why I keep saying this again and again. Go and stand before a mirror. Do this as an exercise. Go and stand before a mirror. Look in the mirror. Look into your own eyes. And ask yourself, do I believe in Allah? Seriously. Seriously, go and look into your own eyes in front of a mirror and ask yourself this question. Do I really believe in Allah? Number one question. And number two question. Do I really believe that one day I will die and I will stand before Allah? Just these two questions. Look in a mirror into your own eyes and ask yourself these two questions and settle that with yourself once and for all. And believe me, your life will become so beautiful. And so totally stress-free, you will not believe me. Why will it become stress-free? Because then all decisions become very easy. All decisions become very easy. How do they become easy? Because there is only one I have to please, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalas, I have to stand before Allah. I believe in Allah. And I believe one day I will die. So what must I do now? Please Allah. So any decision point that comes in my life, small or big, only one question I have to answer. Does this please Allah? If it pleases Allah, alhamdulillah, labbaik, no problem. If it does not please Allah, alhamdulillah, I will not do it. Khalas. Oh, but what will so-and-so think? What will forget about it. Don't worry about it. I don't care what anybody thinks. If this does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, I will not do it. Period. Matter is over. No discussion. And if it's a matter where I do not know whether it pleases Allah or not, but I would like to do it, what must I do? Verify. Go check with somebody who knows. This is what I want to do. Is it okay? Is it not okay? Then do what is okay and do not do what is not okay. It's very, very simple. But these two questions, settle them once and for all. Do yourself a favor. Don't live like this. Do not live like this. Do not wake up one day. When we truly wake up, which is not like we woke up this morning, waking up is to wake up to the akhirah, to wake up to the ghaib, which means that when the curtain is removed, when we see the reality, when we actually see the reality, let us not wake up on that day and then discover that we were way off somewhere. Not a good situation. So Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said this, he said, stop something with your hand. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you see something evil, stop it with your hand. And if you can't do that, وَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَتِي Stop it with your tongue. Speak out against it. And if you can't even do that, hate it in your heart means do not participate in that. Minimum. And that is the sign of the weakness of your faith. So you must really do something about your faith and get to a level where you have the courage to stand up and at least say, look, this thing you are doing is wrong. Please don't do this. There was a time, there was a man, Salatul Eid, this same Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radhiyallahu anhu was witness to that and he narrated that. In the time of Abdul Malik bin Marwan, who was the Khalifa, he came to Salatul Eid, and the Khalifa used to read the Salah in those days. So he came to Salatul Eid, and as you know, in the Salatul Eid, the Salah is first followed by the Khutbah. Unlike Jum'ah, where the Khutbah is first followed by the Salah. So Abdul Malik bin Marwan came and he started giving the Khutbah. So there was a man who stood up. And he said, this is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Salatul Eid, the khutbah comes after the salah, not before the salah. So Malik bin Marwan said, that sunnah is not valid anymore. And this is how it will happen. So the man sat down. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu said, the man has done his duty. He said what needed to be said without fear to the king. Now Malik bin Marwan did that because he knew that if once the salah is over, people will leave. They will not sit and listen to him. This is the problem with being a king who is unjust. So he wanted to turn it around. He was stuck. Unless you do your salah to leave, your Eid is not over. So let me give the khutbah. You are stuck. You have to listen to me. So he changed the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Obviously, these things, they don't stick. As you know, the actual way of salah to leave, which from that day till today continues, which is according to the sunnah. The salah first and then the khutbah. But the man stood up and he spoke without fear and he's speaking to a king who is mutlaqul anan. He's completely and totally absolute monarch. He's called Khalifa, but he's an absolute monarch. He could have done anything he wanted to the man. But the man did not fear that. He stood up and he spoke the truth. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Amar bil ma'ruf wa nahi al munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil. If you read the Quran, this is the only thing about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned regarding all of His Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not talk about the ibadat of the Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us how many rakat of Nafil Ibrahim alayhi salam used to read. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us how many months or how many days in the year that Musa alayhi salam used to fast. Allah did not talk about any of the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with respect to all the Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke only about their da'wah. Allah spoke about their amar bil maruf and nahi al munkar. And in the Quran there are some beautiful descriptions of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And if you read those ayat and if you see the spirit, the tone of those ayat, you see it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this with so much of pride. He said, this is what my man did. This is what my Nabi did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Musa alayhi salam standing in the court of Ramses the Fourth, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this and imagine the whole scene, what it must have been like. I sometimes tell people, if you go and look at the pyramids, and people are impressed with the pyramids, say, oh, look at this fantastic, you know, huge structure and so on and so forth. Imagine that is a tomb. Imagine what the palace of the one whose tomb that was must have been like. You know, we must use our imaginations. What even the palace was like? Peak of wealth and peak of power. The Pharaoh of Egypt, the king of the upper and the lower Niles. Peak of power and peak of wealth. No dynasty, no empire like that in the world at the time. speak of wealth. To the extent that this wealth and power got to his head to the point where he said, I am God. What is that? I mean, I am already king, so now what? Promote yourself. The benefit of being entrepreneurial. You know, you can print your own business cards. Eh? Salah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the scene. Musa alayhi salam. We know from the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Musa alayhi salam was a tall man. He was very muscular and big. He was very dark in complexion. He used to wear a big turban on his head. And he used to wear a mishlah, a cloak. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for 40 years he had the same mishlah. He would spread it in the night and sleep on it. In the morning he would dust it and wear it. The Anbiya were warriors. The Anbiya were hard people. They worked hard. They didn't sit around, with followers running around them. No. And Musa alayhi salam had his staff in his hand. So put yourself in that situation. Here's the court of Pharaoh, the court of the Pharaoh of Egypt, with all the pomp and splendor and glamour and gold and brocade and God knows what, and all his army and everything else, and his noble and all his nobility and everyone there in attendance. And Musa alayhi salam is standing there alone. His cloak is dusty from the desert, his beard is dusty, he had a big beard and he had a turban on his head and a staff in his hand, standing there alone before the Pharaoh. And he's telling the Pharaoh to obey and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. And Allah says, the Pharaoh says, Wama Rabbul Alameen? Who is this Rabbul Alameen? Imagine this arrogance of the man. Here is the messenger of Allah saying, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. And he says, who is Rabbul Alameen? Wama Rabbul Alameen? And Musa alayhi salam says, Rabbi Sabawati wal ardi wa ma baynahuma in kuntum muqineen. He is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth and everything else in between. Will you not be one of those who obey? And Allah says, then Pharaoh, what does he do? He does what most people do. He turns to the people around him. And he said, did you hear him? Did you hear what he said? He said, this man is mad. Did you hear what he said? He says, Rabbul Alameen, heavens and the earth. I am God. What God is this? And what does Musa alayhi salam do? Musa alayhi salam said, he is your Rabb and the Rabb of your forefathers. In kuntum taqilun, if you have any sense. He's not arguing with the Pharaoh. He is on his track. And this is the work of Dawah. The work of Dawah is not to get involved in arguments and get sidetracked here and there. The work of Dawah is to say what you have to say without distraction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only described the Dawah of Anbiya, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored even those ordinary people who did the work of da'wat, which is they did the work of inviting towards good and forbidding evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the different stages of this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what happens to people who do the work of da'wat. So don't think that people will embrace you and they will love you and they will honor you because you enjoin good and forbid evil. It's a strange world. For those who promote evil, people honor them. For those who promote good, people abuse them, people try to harm them. Different levels. This is our dunya. And then we wonder, why is this world so bad? Why do you think? Huh? You don't need to be a rocket scientist to answer that question. Why do you think? If you have a lecture by a sheikh, no matter how wonderful and great that sheikh might be, you have a lecture by a sheikh, how many people come? 100, 200, 500, 1000, 5000? 5000 is like big time, huh? But you get one Bollywood actor, what happens? The whole stadium will fill up. Why? One pop star. And then you say, this world is so bad. I always tell people, you get what you pay for. What do you pay teachers? What do you pay film stars? What do you pay teachers? What do you pay pop stars? What are you going to get? Learning, knowledge, ethics, values, morals. You pay peanuts, you get monkeys. That's what you're getting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the stages of Dawah, and He honors and mentions those who did the work of Dawah. I'm not going to translate the ayat because you know all the ayat. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذِرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرِيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. This Qariya, this village, the Mufassirin said this is refers to the town of Antioch. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He sent two Anbiya there, and because they were denied and they were not making any headway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a third. وَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثِ. We helped them with a third one. And a series of ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they preached and they presented Tawheed, La ilaha illallah, and the people denied that. They said, we are the messengers of Allah. They said, you are nobody. You are like ordinary people. You are like us. We don't accept you. So first stage is denial. Second stage, they said, we will punish you. تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. We will punish you. We will harm you. And you are a curse. The Anbiya continued their work. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a man came who was living on the end or the edge of that town. He was not a Nabi. Allah did not mention the name of the man, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a man came who was living far away. Yes, he came running. And why did he come? He came to tell the people, and he said to the people, obey the Anbiya. Obey the people, obey the Anbiya. They are preaching what is good for you and they don't ask for a reward from you. This is one of the most important elements of Dawah. Is not to take money to do the work of Islam. Not to take money to preach Islam. Not to take money to do the work of Dawatul Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this 8 or 9 times in the Quran, specifically with relation to a different Anbiya. That is what gives you power. Money seals your lips. Money puts a collar around your neck. And the leash of that collar is in the hands of the one who gave you the money. Whether it's individual or whether it's the public. No Nabi ever took money to do the work of Dawah. Today we have made Dawah into a business. We even call it commercial Dawah. That's like halal pork. It's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms. How is it possible? Commercial Dawah? What is commercial Dawah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this man, he came and he told the people. And what did the people do? The people killed him. So stages. First, denial. Then all kinds of trouble. And the third stage is for those who Allah loves. Shaheed fi sabilillah. So Allah described this. Where he said,
وَذْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِن شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ قالوا ربنا يعلم إنا إليكم لمرسلون وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم قالوا طائركم معكم أئن ذكرتم بل أنتم قوم مسرفون. يعلمون وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون أتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغني عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعون
إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعون. Then what happened? قيل ادخل الجنة. Allah said enter the Jannah. قيل ادخل الجنة. And what did the man say? The man said, يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. I wish my people would know what happened to me. I wish my people could know what my Rabb did with me. The dua, the wish of the da'i is so powerful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I will tell the people what I did with you. And I will not only tell your people, I will tell people till the day of judgment who read my kalam. And I will tell those people Miss Sauti Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only will the message be given, the message will be given in the voice of the best of the creation. This is the izzah, the izaz, the honor that is given to the one who invites towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. وما أنزل على قومه من بعده من جند من السماء وما كنا منزلين إن كانت إلا صيحة واحدة فإذا هم خامدون يا حسرة على العباد ما يأتيهم من رسول إلا كانوا به يستهزئون. الله سبحانه وتعالى said وما أنزلنا على قومه من بعد. Usually the qawm is ascribed to the Nabi. Qawm Musa, qawm Nuh, and so on, right? Is ascribed to the Nabi. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not ascribed the qawm to the Anbiya. Allah said, His people. Allah ascribed the qawm to this man. And Allah said that it is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to send down some great thing or Allah had to send an army to punish these people, punish his people, this man. In kanat illa sayhatan wahida. There was only a sound. Only a sound. And they were as if nothing. They were dead. They were finished. One boom and they're gone. Khalas. So all this power and glory of people trying to oppress and people trying to put down the word of Allah, believe me, this is nothing. They stand only because you choose to sit. They speak only because you choose to be silent. They are visible only because you choose to hide yourself. Their writ runs in the land because you choose to stand up and be recognized as Muslims. Their way is the fashion because you choose to ignore the fashion of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters, it's in our hands. We have been given a responsibility. Our responsibility is to take this word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the home of every single person on the face of this earth. To go and present, not to compel, not to argue, not to debate, not to try to push,
Go and present. Here is my gift to you. Da'wah. Invite. Somebody says, I don't want it. No problem. Alhamdulillah. I am still your friend. Why? How come you are my friend? Because I love you, I come to you. Why else would I come to you? Why else would I come to you? If I did not love you, then I would say, very good, stay out of Islam, go into the hellfire, good for me. I come to you because I love you. I try to correct you because I love you. If I didn't love you, why would I correct you? For what? Do what you want to do. No responsibility. Allah is not going to ask me individually about this one, that one. No. This is what the da'i must do. This is what you must do. Make a lot of du'a in this month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give us the confidence to stand and to look like Muslims and to walk and talk like Muslims and to behave like Muslims, to deal with people like Muslims, so that people will come to Islam because they fall in love with you. Like they came to Islam because they fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've said this many, many times. People did not come to Islam because they were convinced by some complicated theological argument. They came to Islam for one reason only. They loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they loved the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came to Islam. We are the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us behave like that. Let us look like that. Let us walk and talk like that. And then you will see. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. You will see when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, that people will enter into this deen in multitudes. Not one or two. Multitudes. Entire cities, entire countries. May Allah make you witness to that, inshallah. May Allah make you the cause of that, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in keeping with His grace and His majesty. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with the best of the best. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to get the best out of this month of Ramadan al-Kareem. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to make those du'as that He wants you to make. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept those du'as from you and to give you whatever you ask Him with khair and afiyah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to give you what you ask Him and then to add to that from His grace and majesty and generosity. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you what you ask and to give you what you did not ask out of His rahmah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive whatever you made tawbah for and to forgive whatever you forgot to make tawbah for. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and to forgive all those of your elders who passed before you or your youngsters. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the day comes for you to meet Him, that day should be the best day of your life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you go into your qabr, that your qabr should be filled with nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with His grace and mercy. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather you all with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam on the day of judgment when we will stand before Allah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the shade of His arsh. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that you are given the water of Al-Kawthar by the blessed hand of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the shafa'at of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the day when he will be given the shafa'at and Allah will accept that shafa'at from him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to decree that you cross the sirat in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and in the safety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enter Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. Make a lot of dua for the ummah of this of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because we are a people who really, really, really desperately need dua. Make a lot of dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the greatest of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he used to make dua for his ummah. Let us now make dua for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to which of course alhamdulillah we ourselves have the honor and happiness to belong, but also all the others, especially those who are in all kinds of difficulties and troubles. The list is so long. There was a time when you could say this list in one or two locations, but to today the list is so long that there are so many. There's probably not any place on this earth where there are Muslims who are in some kind of trouble or the other. Make a lot of dua for them that we should be relieved from these troubles. Some of these troubles are of our own making. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should give us the sense not to make trouble ourselves. And let us say, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from the troubles that are created for us for no fault of ours, except that we say la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.